Isaiah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse, we read where he says, "Here am I, send me." At least I'm saying it, but wait until after services, if you please. I made a statement here a while back. People asked me what I was going to give a talk on, and I said, the seven churches of Asia, and I had forgotten how hard those lessons were whenever I took them when I was going to school. And so I decided I would just speak on one tonight. And I've asked Rob Tuttle if he would be my reader of the Bible whenever I needed it read. Revelations is a difficult book, as most of you realize and know. It's different. It's not a book that's easily understood by many. They think it's all in the great beyond future, and yet most of it has already taken place. It's amazing when you get old how your legs are shaky. I thank you for being here. I hope that the worship service at the Church of Christ here in Ridgecrest, that will be beneficial to you as well as to us. I know whenever I was getting ready for this lesson, it was difficult, and not being able to read, I had to have someone read for me. And so, in the very beginning of the book, it always starts out telling us some things that we need to know. John was the apostle, and he was asked to write what he saw. And so an angel appeared to him and took him into the beyond, into the spiritual realm. And no doubt it was difficult for him to write things that he saw. But come to find out as you read it, God spoke and Jesus spoke also. And everything John wrote came from our Father in heaven and His Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us and who gave Himself for us. I'd like for Rob to stand up and read the first chapter and the second chapter of Revelations. And I'd like for you to pay close attention. There's a blessing there involved, a blessing to the one who reads the Bible aloud, not to him oneself, but that someone can understand and hear. And it's very difficult. You can stand up and read, but in order to read in such a manner that those that listen will receive a blessing, you must know how to read. And at the time the book was written, there was not too many Bibles in the world to be had. And even today, if you stop and think about it, in the Muslim world, if you have a Bible, it could be you lose your head. And so, at that time, there was very few people that even knew how to read. And I imagine it's the same today in many countries in this world. But our Lord loves us so much that He wanted us to read it in such a way that we could understand it, and those that are listening will receive a blessing and be able to understand what is being said and apply it to their lives as well. Rob, would you please stand up and read those two chapters?
Do you want to read the whole chapter? You just want to read the second chapter where it talks about the Ephesus and return to where the whole chapter 1 and 2? You just want to read the second chapter.
You want to read them or not?
Yep.
Okay.
I'm trying to get this clear. Excuse me. Revelation
of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angels to his servant John, who testified to everything he saw, that is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads the words of his prophecy. Blessed are those who hear it and take it to heart, what is written in it, because the time is near. John, to the seven churches of the province of Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler and the king of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom of priests to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering of the kingdom, the patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. I turned around to see the voice and was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe, reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. His head and hair were like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze, glowing in the furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades. Write, therefore, what you have seen and what is now and what will take place later. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands is this. The seven stars are the seven angels of those seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. To the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them to be false. You have persevered and have endured hardship for my name and have not grown weary. Yet, I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love. Remember the heights from which you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come and remove the lampstand from his place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of the life, which is in the paradise of God. To the angel of the church of Smyrna write, these are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and yet are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecutions for 10 days. Be faithful, even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. To the angels of the church of Pergamum write, these are the words of him who has the sharp, double-edged sword. I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, yet you remain true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my faithful witnesses, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You have people there who hold to the teachings of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites to sin by eating food sacrificed to idols and by committing sexual immorality. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teachings of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give him a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to him who receives it.
Oh, thank you, Rob. I'm sure that those that heard God's word have received a blessing. Notice, in the very beginning, it tells you exactly who the author of the book is. The one who was alive then, before the world was created. It's hard for humans to understand life because we believe there's always a beginning and an ending. But for God, there was no beginning, there was no ending. He's here today. He will be here tomorrow. No matter where you're going, He'll be there. No matter where you've been, He's been there. And the book is made up of two different subjects. One is the church as you see it, the candlestick holder. What does it do? It lets its light shine. The lesson tonight was based upon the church, upon its members, upon the visitors, upon those who have never obeyed their Lord. And so some of the things we may say may surprise you in many ways. The first church that we read of, it was a large city. They say it's the second Rome, actually. If you was born there, you was a citizen of Rome. It had a port, the largest known in that day. It was a trade center. Camels come through with goods all the time and leaving them and being shipped away. Not only that, it was a fun city. They had games every day. And once a year, countries came and they all played their game. Not only that, they had judges there also. It was a center for that. Not only that, the military had military there. So you can tell that it was a huge city. It was no little tiny one. And being a trade center, it had nationalities from everywhere. And no doubt they had different religions also. If you notice in the reading, you'll find that the church there was strong. We can find that they also destroyed the magic books that the religious fanatics had, because it stood between them and the Savior. So they were very strong in faith. In the beginning, you can read of this church in Acts. In Ephesians, you can read. There was a lovely church. They thought when Paul was there and Paul left that they would never see him again. And they fell upon him and wept and cried. So they loved one another. This church had many good points. If you notice in the reading, great points. Points that you and I would be proud of. They were workers. They did everything right. They sought to be the best they could be. And yet they lack one thing. So I ask you, as a congregation, are you working? Do you have the faith that they had? A man that taught me said he had checked up on the magic books. At that time was worth thousands and thousands of dollars. But today, it would be worth over $3 million. Do we have that kind of faith that we would take books and burn them if they stood between us and God? Do we love one another as they loved? In Acts, we find those people that obeyed the Lord, confessed His name, and was buried in baptism. Later, they went from house to house and enjoyed each other's company. No doubt they talked about their faith in the Lord and their joy of being saved. Do we do that? Ask yourselves, have we lost our first love? Well, I can remember my first love. The very thought that I was saved. No more happened to worry. Or the Lord was with me. I could talk to Him anytime. He lived within me because I was baptized with Him. How much joy do we have in our hearts? Have we lost our first love? Do we do things because we love Christ? Or do we do it because it tells us that we must do it? Oh yes, I preached many a sermon. We have to do this and we have to do that. We should be doing this and doing that. But the greatest thing I forgot And I confess. I gave a lesson here not too many times ago. The greatest commandment of all was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, body, and strength. Your very being, love the Lord, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, I'll tell you what. You was baptized. Why was you baptized? Because you thought you was lost? What about your neighbor? Do you love him as you love for yourself? Let's hope so. Joy. It's a wonderful word. But why is it that we put up with so much nowadays? We listen to all the stuff that's going on in the world. I turned the TV on the other day early in the morning, believe it or not, as early. This preacher was not a member of the church. But oh, did he lay it on the line about churches standing up and not condemning, and they put it with homosexuality. They put it with all kinds of things. They never spoke up against it. Their neighbors were dying because of it. And I wondered, what are we doing? And I know that there's some of you that are working, that you're having Bible classes in your home, and bless your heart. And I know God blesses you. How often do you kneel down in prayer and speak to your God to help you to help others and really mean it? How many times do you pray for the sick? What kind of faith do you have? Christ told his apostles when he come down the mountainside, there's a boy that was having fits and everything else. And the father said, how come they couldn't heal him? And Christ told him, because of the lack of faith and prayer. We read where if one of us is sick, call the elders. They'll come and anoint you and pray for you, and you shall be healed. And we back out of that real fast. And they say, well, that there are sins. We're not. But then he goes ahead and says, if they have committed a sin, it shall be forgiven. If. Do we have enough faith to actually believe that when we ask God for something, it will be done? And I hear these guys on TV, and they heal the sick and all that, and people just adore them. And I've had some stand up and say, I was healed. I had this, by faith I was healed. And I read what doctors had to say about it. And there is doctors, believe it or not, that agree a miracle actually took place. Oh, we back away from that, don't we? We think God doesn't work today. And yet Revelation tells us he's everywhere. He takes care of everything for us. People who think they rule the world, he says, no, Christ rules the world, not them. As we can see, our world is going to pot. All kinds of troubles. Every day you read the news, you watch the news on the TV, and that's all there is just murder going on and troubles. People who say they're ruling the world. Jesus gives them permission to do some things, but there comes a time that he will put a stop to it. And one thing, I think Rob read it, he loves us. Not just today, not just yesterday. His love is a continuing thing. If you don't believe that, turn and find, I've been a member of the church all my life. I get my first lesson at 11 years old. And yet, friend, if you have never obeyed your Lord in baptism, then you can see where you stand with the Lord. One day you'll stand before him and he'll be your judge. And he loves you. Can you feel the compassion he has for you? I feel it. But not only that, when the day is over, the one that has just been baptized, their reward is as great as mine. The blessings they have nowadays is far greater than what I thought I had. We was doing good. We had a telephone in the home. I don't know how my folks knew when I was misbehaving, but they found out. And I was rewarded with you can guess. And nowadays we pat them on the back and we say the teachers are at fault. And I worked for the school district for 24 years, at college for 5. I know what's going on. We as Christians cannot condone bad behavior. We cannot condone evil. And yet we do it all the time because, well, I'm a Republican. I've got to support my colleagues, or I'm a Democrat, and yet the Lord is in charge. What does he say about it? Where is your faith? What do you believe? Is the church here doing everything they could do? Are they having fellowship with one another? I understand they're starting it. Wonderful. That's how you turn no to each other and love each other. You discuss how you feel, and people can be a help to each other. Wonderful. That's showing love. Christ loves you, and he wants us to love him. He wants us to obey him. Not because we have to, but because we love him and we want to please him. If you stop and think, he says he lives within you. If you belong to him. I know every time I think about doing something that's not exactly right, I think, oh my gosh, my Lord is within me and he knows what I'm thinking. Before I think, they even think. How about you? Consider yourself individually. And consider yourself as a member of this congregation. Consider yourself as a friend of the congregation. Or just a visitor. We love it when you're here. We'd like for you to stay and so we can get to know you better. We love you, and we hope that you'll come to love us. We want you to obey your Lord in baptism. We want you to confess his name before men. I do all the time. That's my hobby, I guess. I got a hobby horse, they say preachers do. And it's God in heaven and his Son and his church, the bride of Christ. Husbands, do you love your wives? Wives, do you love your husbands? The church is a bride of Christ. We ought to love him and do what he wants us to do to please him. He loves us. If we can be a help to you in any way, would you let us know? We'd love to help. We can't help unless we know. Can we? No. I thank you all for my prayers that you've prayed in behalf of me, my health, my family. And I couldn't stand before you tonight and talk to you if it hadn't been for prayer and for my God. You remember in Exodus, the 3rd chapter, we find a fellow walking along in the mountains and he saw a fire. He just kept on burning. He went over to see what it was. He said, "This is your holy ground. Take your shoes off." And he did. And it was God. God said, "I want you to go down to Egypt and save my people. I hear their groanings." And he said, "Oh, my," he made all kinds of excuses. Don't we? Oh, yes. Make all kinds of excuses. God said, "You tell them that I am that I am, sent you. I am before the beginning. I'm here before the ending. There is no end. And I'm here with you right now." "Oh, well, I can't talk." Boy, isn't that the truth? I can't talk either. And he told him, "Well, here comes your brother. He's good at talking. He's eloquent. Oh, yes. He'll speak for you." And later we read where he says, "Moses, your God to your brother. Your brother is your prophet. He's your mouthpiece." Brethren, I've been doing the best I know how to explain to you that we as a congregation need to do more. We as individuals need to do more, not because it's required of us, but because we want to do it because we love him and we want to please him. And so we offer the invitation this evening. If we can be a help to you in any way, let us know. If you're afraid to walk down the aisle, I'm sure somebody will walk down the aisle with you. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. Confess his name. And be baptized. And he's baptized with you. There was a man years ago baptized right up here in the baptistry in a wheelchair. The preacher here was Bill Knight. His folks had called me up and asked me if I could perform that. My back was in such bad shape I couldn't, so I asked Butch, the son-in-law, if he would help. Bill Knight says, "You just bring him along, we'll have it ready for you." They come, they carried him, wheelchair all, up and baptized him. And he come down, I've never seen anyone so happy in all my life as that man was. His daughters and his son was there, and they said they had never seen their dad so happy. You see, he had been raised in the church. But being raised in church doesn't get you to heaven. It's that you love the Lord enough to do what he wants you to do. And do it because you're willing and wanting to do it. Will you stand, please, as we sing the song of to invite you forward? Let us help you if it's possible. Thank you for your attendance. And please, visitors, come back and visit us again soon.